I am not ashamed of the gospel. The word gospel means good news. And this message that I am not ashamed of is good news about salvation through Messiah Jesus. And this gospel, this message, is the power of God to bring salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jewish people and then to the Gentiles. Shalom, this is Rabbi Lauren coming to you live by Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael with Jesus Made Me Kosher. And my guest today is Jeannie Rosen. Jeannie's an old friend of mine. For some 30 years, she and her husband, Jake, have been working to strengthen and expand the Messianic Jewish community in St. Louis. She is helping her husband, Jake, with their Messianic congregation, Beit Chesed, House of Love, or House of Piety, Chesed. Jeannie has a love for art. She works at an art museum and teaches art at a local university. So, Jeannie, my old friend, welcome to Jesus Made Me Kosher today.
Hi, Lauren. Thank you very much for having me. It was very nice of you to invite me.
Thank you. Thank you very much for being with us on Faith Talk 1500. Well, Jeannie, let's start with your story. How did the three-in-one God of Israel, the living God, reveal himself to you and that Yeshua, Jesus, is our wonderful Jewish Messiah? How did Jesus make you kosher, Jeannie?
Okay, well, it starts at a very young age. When I was 4 years old, my parents moved our family, including seven children, from New Orleans to St. Louis, Missouri. In our new, very Jewish neighborhood, we had a sweet older woman who babysat us. She read Bible stories to me that I had never heard before. Joseph and the Coat of Many Colors was one I remember in particular, and I was fascinated. My dad is Jewish, but very nominal. He didn't take an interest in his faith tradition at all, as far as I could tell. And my mom was part of a large Christian denomination, but she was very dissatisfied, and she was looking for answers. She was what I would consider a truth seeker. When I was around 9 years old, I went to church with this neighbor, Mrs. Maley, and she was also talking to my mom. Mrs. Maley was a fourth-grade Sunday school teacher. It was in this classroom that I heard and understood the gospel from the Bible. I learned that Jesus had died and paid for all of my sins, and that I could know with absolute certainty that if I died, I would go to heaven to live with him if I put my trust in him and would accept him into my heart. I took advantage of that message and accepted Yeshua into my heart. Not long after that, my mom and all of my brothers and sisters became believers in Yeshua, too. All of my family except my dad. And this all happened around the time of my parents' split up, leaving my mom to raise the six remaining kids on her own. But my mom took an interest in our Jewishness and got connected with the Midwest Messianic Center just down the street from where we lived. The Midwest Messianic Center was a mission whose purpose was to share the good news with Jewish people, to let them know that the good news is for both Jews and Gentiles. And it was this mission that Wayne and Carolyn Carson came to work for, having just finished training in New York with Moshe Rosen, who would later become the founder of Jews for Jesus. I was 11 years old when the Carsons started a youth meeting called Kibbutz on Thursday nights. They drew their core of kids from the church I attended, the church where I accepted Yeshua a couple of years earlier. So I was very tied in, and I went out soul winning every Saturday with the Carsons. We talked to people in parks, the streets, and shopping malls, and I received a lot of good training and made a lot of good friends. But family life was tough with all the broken home. As soon as I got the chance, I moved away after high school to be with friends in New Mexico and took up the Native American Indian jewelry business there. I got a little more rebellious, a little more lost in my attempts to free myself, a.k.a. do whatever I wanted to do. I was only 17 years old, so you know I didn't know what I was doing. I came back to St. Louis and went back to kibbutz and to the old disciplines I'd had, and I drew near to God once again. At age 19, I met Jake at kibbutz, Jake, my husband, and he was a brand-new believer and an artist, so he had the best combination that I could have hoped for. We married 4 years later and took up the Jewish ministry of Clayton Community Church, and we had 2 children. Their names are Josiah, who's 28 years old, and Aliza, who's 26 years old. And we've been doing all of that for 30 years now, and more recently we got involved with a Messianic congregation, as you've mentioned, called Beit Hesed, and which Jake and myself and others, a couple of others, lead. So that's it in a nutshell, a very tight nutshell.
That's a great nutshell.
Thank you.
A couple follow-up questions. How old were you when you first came to know the Lord?
I was about 9 or 10. I was about 9 or 10 years old. It was in that Sunday school classroom that I understood John 3:16 and that the gospel was made very clear to me. So I was the first in my family, and I really, truly understood. And then I got to go to VBSs in the summer, and I remember just being really hungry. You know, I remember trying to read the Bible and thinking that Psalms said palms, and I was trying to figure it out. But I got followed up very, very quickly with through the ministry of Wayne and Carolyn. And through,
that's
through
great.
The
so the importance of children's ministry was very important
yes,
to you.
Yes, it really brought that home to me. And I teach Sunday school, and reliving my story really helps me see that.
You mentioned that you went soul winning with Wayne and Carolyn. Tell us more about that. And how old were you when you first started doing that?
Well, Wayne, you know, started this youth meeting, and I was 11. So at 11, at that young, 11, 12, 13, we'd go out on Saturdays, and in Forest Park, which is the huge park here, City Park, which is where I work now, actually, there was a place called the Pavilion, and it was a hangout. Bands would come and, you know, have battle of the bands. And we just peruse it, you know. We take these heaven tracks and approach people and witness to them, and we'd go to shopping malls, outdoor shopping malls, and Wayne had us, you know, giving the gospel everywhere we went, and it was fun. That's how I really spent like every Saturday doing that. You know, it was one reason is it's the only thing my mom would let me do too, but. You know, it was a good thing. So I did that for years, you know.
I'm sure you blessed a lot of other people. What kind of impact do you think that kind of evangelism had on your own spiritual life?
It had a tremendous impact on my spiritual life. Little did I know that in a few short years I would go on campaign with Jews for Jesus, who was all about being in the street, you know, about witnessing in the street and approaching people. And just, I didn't think twice about being in a big crowd, being in a crowd of strangers on the street, and just putting forth the word. I didn't think twice about it, really. It seems perfectly normal to me. And feeling at home in a big crowd, I guess, you know, and through my adult life, my kids would always say, "Mom, the first thing you tell people is what you believe." You know, and maybe that's not always the best thing, but I guess I've been ready to give an answer, you know, because that's what we're supposed to do. I guess.
Well, I think it's a great thing, Jeannie, to be very upfront right away with who we are and what we believe, and take the initiative to bring this life-saving message, the good news, to the Jew first, but also to the Gentile. I think you're a great example of what Christians should be like in this regard.
Well, thank you, but I mean, I really have to, you know, thank my predecessors, my mentors, you know, Wayne and Carolyn. Wayne had just come from being trained in New York with Jews, with Well Moish, you know, who would later become the founder of Jews for Jesus, and he was just putting to work what he'd been taught, and that was one of the first things we did, and the church, the church we're in now, Clayton Community Church, has a history of soul winning, and we've kind of waned, and we need to get back to it.
Jeannie, I consider Moish Rosen, the founder of Jews for Jesus, to be the greatest man I ever knew, and the Lord used him to impact my life in a very big way and the lives of, you know, hundreds and thousands of others. His daughter Ruth just wrote a book about her dad, and the name of the book is Called to Controversy, The Unlikely Story of Moish Rosen and the Founding of Jews for Jesus. And
yeah.
It's published by a major Christian publisher, Thomas Nelson. Have you are you familiar with the book?
I've seen it. I've seen the promo for it. I have not ordered it yet. I don't own it yet, but I need to. I need to read it. I try to order about it, just about everything else.
Ruth, the author, is going to be in the Detroit area next week for some book signings. And I'm going to just take a minute to talk about that because I think it's really great. On Wednesday, May 16th, which is a week from today, she's going to be at Ward Church in the evening. Thursday, May 17th, is going to be a special book signing and private reading in our home with Ruth. Ruth is going to come to Martha in my house in West Bloomfield, and we're going to provide refreshments. So people who have already bought the book are welcome to come so that Ruth can sign it, and some books will be available for sale. And you can contact Jennifer at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. Or contact her at ggoldstein@shema.com. That's G like Jennifer Goldstein at shema.com. And then Ruth is also going to be with us two times at Congregation Shema Yisrael a week from Saturday, May 19th, right after our service at 12:30, and then at 7:30. Ruth is going to be available for these book signings and readings from her new book, and refreshments will be provided. So that sounds great, Jeannie, doesn't it?
That sounds great. I wish I could be there. It sounds like a really compacted, wonderful time with Ruth.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Well, Jeannie, you're an advocate for the arts, especially regarding the arts and faith. Tell us a little bit more about that and why.
Well, you know, as a youngster, as a high school student, who didn't have a whole lot going for me, you know, our family was sort of chaotic. Art was the one thing that I excelled in and that I received some affirmation in. And by the time I was in my senior year of high school and I had to write my thesis paper, I decided to write it on the history of modern art. Well, it opened up a whole new world for me, and I decided that if I'd ever went to college, I would study art history. And also around that time, the Francis Schaeffer series called How Shall We Then Live really affected me, because he looks at the course of Western civilization through the eyes of art and has seen the rise and fall and the degradation that we fall into in the modern times when we get away from God. So I've always seen art as a real bridge to spirituality, to helping to artists alike, as well as viewers of art, to say there's something deeper here. You know, let's look at what the artist is saying. Let's look at the culture behind what produced this art, and let's look at the need people have for God. So I like to encourage artists, especially Christian artists, because, you know, we're a minority. We don't often have a place on the museum wall or a gallery devoted to Christian arts, you know. And maybe that's okay, but I would like the Christian artists to be encouraged, because there's so many of them in Christians and believers and followers of Yeshua that are artists. I mean, there's just always seemed to be a real connection that I picked up on. So my husband is a painter. I fell in love with an artist as he was going to art school and I was studying art history. And I like to encourage him. He paints through the book of Isaiah, and he has a good understanding of the Hebrew poetry, and he shows that on the canvas, and we're building a big show that hopefully will hit the road someday, and then maybe you'll get to see. We just have to find the right venues, you know. Maybe your congregation has walls big enough that can host the show someday on the Book of Isaiah. It'll be very exciting.
I think Jake has some of his art on the internet, doesn't he, on a website?
Yes, Jewish painter. It's blogspot.com, jewishpainter.blogspot.com, or just beithesed.com. You could see some of his canvases.
Cool.
Yeah.
Jeannie,
yes.
Who do you consider the greatest artist of all time, other than the creator?
Oh, that's a good question. I guess Picasso. That's a hard one. I mean, the packaged answer is Leonardo da Vinci and Michelangelo, Rembrandt. Surely they're the greatest, but I think I like modern art, and I think Picasso pushed us towards redefining it a little bit.
I like the Impressionists.
You do.
I do.
Yeah. Most people do. I work for somebody that is an expert in that area, so I get to be exposed to it. It's really nice.
So would you say Picasso is your favorite artist?
No. I like Franz Klein. He's an abstract expressionist. He's one of those guys that just slashes, that just puts the black paint on the white canvas, and it's just kind of a slash, slash. Because to me, you can take a beautiful scene, but it can all be reduced down to the most simple, basic colors and form, and still say the same thing. I know that sounds really artisty, like artishness, but too artsy, but that's truly how I feel about it. It's called minimalism.
So you like minimalism and modern art, uh-huh. And your favorite artist is who again?
Well, I really like Franz Klein.
Franz Klein.
He was an abstract expressionist, yeah. German guy, yeah, not Jewish, but, you know,
that's
grew
okay.
up in Pittsburgh. Yeah, and just that, you know, like de Kooning, same era, where they've just got these splashes of paint on the canvas. De Kooning did a lot of color pinks and really distorted the female figure because he was dealing with his issues about women. But Klein is very similar to him, only a little more simpler, a little more
okay.
black and white. Yeah.
All right.
I'm kind of simple. Like it simple.
All right. What's your favorite verse in the Bible and why?
My favorite verse in the Bible is 2 Corinthians 5:18-20. And it's three verses. Can I give it to you?
Please.
Okay. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So it says it all. It says that Christ himself was not counting our sins against us, and that he's come to reconcile us to himself, to us and God, and that our job is to be an ambassador for him. So it's very clear cut. And my message that I want to give is be reconciled to God. So the passage has said it for us. It tells it all. Be reconciled to God.
I really like that. Can you read it again? Only this time instead of Christ, can you substitute Messiah, which is the same thing?
Absolutely.
All right, try it again.
All this is from God, who reconciled himself through Messiah and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Messiah, Yeshua, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Messiah's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Messiah's behalf, be reconciled to God.
That is a great passage, Jeannie.
Yeah, I really like it.
I love that too, that God, you know, wanted to forgive us. He took the initiative. He wanted to reconcile himself to us, and he wanted to forgive our sins, and he did it. And then he gave us the same mission, the same ministry that Messiah had, and we're his representatives and we're his ambassadors. And that's one of our greatest responsibilities, is to tell a lost and dying world this good news about Messiah and tell them you need to be reconciled to God and to take the initiative, right?
To take the initiative, yes. My other favorite verse, I don't know if you were going to ask me.
Yeah, sure, why not?
But no, we are reconcilers. That's a wonderful job to get to have. Because everybody needs to be reconciled, not only to God, but in so many other ways. So being a reconciler is a big wonderful job. The other verse is James 4:8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And I picked up that verse at a very important time in my life, and I realized that I had to do something. I had to make a decision and draw near to God and not be passive, you know. He'd done it all already, but I had to make a decision to move towards him. And then he, of course, moved towards me, just like it says.
How do you, Jeannie, draw near to God? Different believers, you know, get closer to God in different ways. For me, it's silence and solitude when I'm off by myself, you know, walking or in nature, or, you know, I just feel closer to God. How do you get closer to God in your own life?
That's a good question. I go off and by myself in my house, and I get my Bible out, and I get my journal out, and I could either be doing devotions or be picking up on a further study, but I like to spend a good amount of time with him, and it sets the world right.
So getting off by yourself in your own house and reading the Bible and praying and writing some things, thoughts that come
journaling.
To mind?
Journaling. Pardon me?
Yeah, I was going to say journaling or writing down your thoughts that, you know, that come to you.
Yes. I find that when I'm outside, I'm a little too distracted, but when I have my whole spiel, you know, I get my big Bible out and my little journal, and I have something called Bible Pathways that I really like. It's a daily guide, and I use them all, you know, and then I'll start and, you know, pick something up from the Prayer of Jabez or whatever else I'm working on at that time. And I'm also kind of trying to build up my history of the ancient world. So sometimes I'll go off on and, you know, study the maps, but it all helps and nourishes me and brings me back to center, to where I'm with the Lord and he can speak to me. And I sometimes, you know, Lauren, you'll go to do your devotions and crack open the Bible, and just the right word will be there that you needed. You know, and sometimes you don't even know what you need, and he finds it.
Hey, Jeannie, you've been great. You gave us a great interview. You're a real individual, and I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for being my guest today on Jesus Made Me Kosher, and blessings to you and your husband Jake and your two children and everyone who are part of Beit Chesed. May the Lord richly bless you all. Amen?
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lauren.
Well, you've been listening to Rabbi Lauren Jacobs, and this is Jesus Made Me Kosher. And we are on Mondays through Fridays, 3:30 to 4 o'clock, and we would love to have you tune in tomorrow at the same time. From all of us who are part of Congregation Shema Yisrael, shalom, shalom.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.